Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is seismic news.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Samuel has told the 49ers he wants a trade.
Man, I got mind control over Debo.
There's only one complete player at this position like Debo Samuel, and I just said his name.
Debo.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. Coming up, senior NBA insider for The Athletic, Shyam Charania. Plus, actor Colin Hanks. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Jeff Darlington was on the program from the worldwide leader in sports in hour number one. He's the one who spoke to Debo Samuel yesterday and made public the trade request that apparently he had made apparent within the San Francisco 49ers walls for quite some time, made that public. He was also the one who broke the news about Tom Brady retiring way back in the day, and we all know Tom is unretired. Asked him a lot about Brady and all about Debo, and if you missed any of it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. For that, our poll question today, Chris Brockman, lead off hour number two by reminding everybody what we just uncorked at Rich Eisen's show at the end of our first hour.
Yeah, Rich, it's the 33rd anniversary of one of my favorite films, Field of Dreams, released in the theater. Kevin Costner, of course, if you build it, he will come. So it got us talking about baseball movies. What's the best? Field of Dreams, Major League, Bull Durham, Sandlot. Of course, you know, Moneyball, League of Their Own,
right?
Natural, all these other great ones.
There's so many that we did
leave out.
There's
so many.
It's funny, I told a story at the end of the first hour about my 11-year-old Cooper having a
Thanks for sharing that.
No, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. Having three strong innings in his first ever multiple Little League throwing appearance yesterday, and then the fourth inning didn't go very well and the team lost, and him being so upset about it. And I told him the line from A League of Their Own, the Tom Hanks character, is saying, you know, baseball, if everyone was easy, everyone would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. Susie heard that story when she was in her car, hearing that at the end of the first hour. She told him after this all happened that there's no crying in baseball. So she used a line from the same movie, same character.
Same movie.
Yeah. But it's different. It shows a window into our different parenting approaches.
Right.
That's different context.
You thought it might have been flipped.
Different context.
It's a window into our loving marriage and parenting combination.
Different regions of the country you're from.
And the actors.
The same region of the country, though.
We have a Hanks of our own in hour number three. Colin Hanks is going to be here in studio hour number three talking about this. I cannot wait to see this new show called The Offer about the making of The Godfather. But joining us here at the top of hour number two is a man with all of the information involving the association. He tweeted out before we went on the air about Ben Simmons is returning to game four of this Nets-Celtics series, that the Nets need to win that game three, man, to avoid game four being Simmons trying to avoid a sweep in that game four. And he also was the one who broke the story that Jay Wright was contemplating retirement. And sure enough, Jay Wright retired after 21 years at the helm of Villanova basketball. Shyam Charania of The Athletic and more right here on The Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Shams?
Rich, I'm good. Great joining you. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. All right, let's start with the Jay Wright story first. What led him to make this decision? What do you have for me on that?
Rich, when I heard that Jay Wright was retiring, thinking very, very strongly about retiring on Tuesday night, I was stunned. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it because, you know, I didn't even know until I Googled it that he was 60 years old. I mean, the guy obviously looks younger, but also just he's an icon. He's a legend in coaching in general. Obviously a Naismith Hall of Famer. But the more I dug, the more I did my research, it was clear that family time and being at home and being with his wife, Patty, while they're still young, at the age of 60, Jay Wright is, I think, was very, very important. I was told by people close to him that that was the significant reason why he ended up retiring in other people's mind early, prematurely, however you want to call it. But at the age of 60, he wanted to really have this next phase of his life with his family. And there's no NBA coming down for Jay Wright. There's no, you know, after it came out last night, I was getting texts from people around the league that, you know, he's going to the Lakers or the Kings or the Nets, the Knicks. And there's nothing in the NBA for Jay Wright. He feels like he's done everything in the college ranks. Obviously, he was part of the Olympic national team. And this is a guy that's obviously a legend in the space. And so, the more you thought about it, the more you saw that it did make sense. But of course, it is very, you know, it was definitely shocking. And you know, obviously for Jay Wright, he's starting the next phase of his career.
Well, I mean, you kind of beat me to the punch of my follow up question, Shams, because you know, obviously you don't usually traffic in the news of breaking news from the college basketball ranks, and the fact that it crossed your radar screen made everyone, certainly in this room when we were texting each other, Lakers, this is it. I mean, and one way to enjoy your dotage with your wife while you're still young is to watch the Pacific sunset, you know, with your big-time contract that the Buss family would probably bestow you with. There's no shot of that at all?
No. Jay Wright, his retirement was for his coaching career, and he's going to spend family time. Now, I could see him going and transitioning into doing, you know, on-air work for either one of the networks. Mm. But as of right now, his full mindset is on his family. The Lakers will have an expansive search. I do believe there was interest to a degree in Jay Wright from the Lakers, but he is not going to entertain the NBA from everything I've been told. And the Lakers search will have to move on to other candidates. Nick Nurse is a significant name as far as when you look at guys that they would want to go get established, established coaches out there in the marketplace. Nick Nurse crosses every T, former championship coach, can get the most out of that group in Toronto, and you would hope be able to challenge you in L.A. The only problem is Nick Nurse has 2 years left on his deal, and any type of, getting a guy like Nick Nurse would have to mean that you're either doing a trade or Nick Nurse is somehow able to get out of his deal. So it's not as straightforward as getting one of these assistant coaches around the league or a coach right now that isn't employed. So I do think the Lakers will take their time. I think it'll be, one of the more slower coaching searches right now. But it's a slow period. When you look at the two job openings right now in the Lakers and the Kings, I think both teams will be methodical in their approach.
Shams Charania here, lead NBA writer, senior NBA writer for The Athletic and Stadium here on The Rich Eisen Show. What is happening in the Lakers facility right now? Decision-making, roster-building, coaching search? Give me the whole soup to nuts, best you can tell me right now.
I believe what's going on now is game planning for the offseason, right? And their first order of business is figuring out who the head coach of this roster will be. And so I think when you look at Rob Pelinka, their general manager, you look at Kurt Rambis, who's an advisor there, those will be two of the names that, of course, will be part of the decision-making process along with, you know, Jeannie Buss in ownership and the rest of that group. And that's their first order of business. Roster-wise, of course, the Russell Westbrook situation looms as well this offseason. What happens with him? He has a $47 million player option. The sides could ultimately end up having a discussion in terms of which trade possibility might make sense. Is there a buyout possibility that might make sense? I think that's, you know, I think that still has some work to be done as far as getting to that point. But overall, there's no question the first order of business is trying to figure out which direction you want to go with your head coach? Do you want to go with more of a veteran? Do you want to go with, do you want to go with an assistant coach? Are you willing to pay top dollar, the $8, $9, $10 million range? When I talk to prospective coaching candidates in the space, it's like, the Lakers going to be in that mode of paying the top dollar and being a significant player in the space. And I mean, these are all questions internally they're going to have to figure out, in terms of what direction they want to go in.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things you just said I want to follow up on. The first thing is, like any coach, like you mentioned Nick Nurse moments ago, the current Raptors head coach with 2 years left on his contract. For him to go down a road, let's just say this, like just for him in specific, going down a road, wouldn't he want to know before taking the job how much longer LeBron plans to stay there and whether Westbrook is something he's going to have to, if for the lack of a better phrase, deal with? Wouldn't that have to be decided before a coach takes such a leap of faith to try and get out of a contract and then forget about the dollars and cents, which I'll get to in a second. Just give me your thoughts on that.
Those questions will have to be a part of the discussion for sure. And I think that is something that will come up no matter who the coaching candidate is. What's the future of a LeBron James? What's the future of Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis? LeBron James has an extension opportunity coming up in August. And I expect that to be more of a discussion for the summer. But with 1 year left on his deal, there's not going to be a pressure point where the Lakers are going to apply on him. It's going to be a discussion that's going to go into July and August. So until then, I don't think there's going to be much clarity on that. But for sure, that the futures of these significant players is going to be a part of the discussion.
And then why don't the Lakers pay all that money? Right? I mean, they're we just saw what they're worth from what was that Forbes came out and did, gave that list.
Sportico
or something. Yeah. So we're. There's no cap on what you pay the coach. Well, why are the Lakers suddenly known as an organization that might not pay for the coach that they can, the best one that they can get? Like what gives on that front?
I think that is more just, coaching prospective candidates having that question, right? And I think when you think of the Knicks and you think of the Lakers, you often think of there's no cap.
Right.
But when you think of a Nick Nurse, I'm told he's making $8 million a year on his contract in Toronto. And when you're thinking about a coach that's going to leave a prospective position, you would want, obviously more than $8 million.
Yes.
So again, like that's a significant salary that would put Nick Nurse at one of the most, he's already one of the upper echelon, paid coaches, but you might have to get to that $9, $10, $11 million type of mark for him to leave that situation. So I think these are just questions that are asked when you look at the prospective candidates that are potentially out there.
Shams Charania here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Athletic and Stadium. In our final moments together, you're Ben Simmons reporting back at Game 4. If he can play Game 4, why not a Game 3, right? I mean, they're down 0-2. This is it. They made this trade for him. We're seeing Harden, even though he fouled out on a team that's one step away from being in the second round already, why Game 4, not Game 3? What do you got for me on that?
I think just allowing him to have even more opportunity to get practice time in, and this is a guy who hasn't played in almost a year, June 2021, and so for him to be thrown out there, of course, you want to make sure he's as rolling on all cylinders as possible, and he's done a couple days of full court scrimmaging this week. I've heard he's come out well from both. He's feeling good, and so as long as that progress continues, tomorrow the Nets are expected to practice. The assumption is that that'll be another opportunity for Ben Simmons to have a scrimmage day, and you have three scrimmages under your belt, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Use the weekend to continue to ramp up, get treatment, and make your debut on Monday. And I think that is the expectation around the Nets, the expectation around Ben Simmons, that he will be out there on Monday. The question is, again, does he come off the bench? Is there a minutes limit? I think what the Warriors are doing now with Steph Curry, bringing him back from an injury, where Steph Curry has been vocal about that he is going to be dealing with some discomfort. He's playing through that, but he wants to play in the playoffs. So he's playing on a minutes restriction coming off the bench. I would expect, that could be a model for the Nets if they want to save Ben Simmons for the final, 4 to 6 minutes of each quarter, have him come off the bench. So I think these are all conversations I expect to take place over the next few days. The Nets, of course, hope that they are you know, at least down 2-1 in that series before a Ben Simmons return on Monday.
All right, then let's quick hit or give whatever information you can on some other crucial injury news. Certainly with series at 1-1 game apiece. So Luka's availability, what can you tell me about that with the Mavericks?
There's an expectation that he's going to be back either tonight in Game 3 or Saturday in Game 4. Tonight, I expect him to be a game-time decision. It's really just going to come down to how his calf feels and his conversations with the medical group. If they feel like he could benefit from another 2 days in terms of today and tomorrow before Saturday, he'll sit. But if they feel like he's ready to go, if he gets a sign-off from the medical group, he will play tonight. But like Luka Doncic said yesterday, he's not going to be coming back at 100%. He knows that he just needs to avoid the risk of re-injury, and I think that's going to be part of the conversation. But there is optimism he'll be back here as the series shifts to Utah.
What's the scoop on Devin Booker for the Suns?
With a mild hamstring strain, you're usually looking at 7 to 10 days. That puts him out definitely through games 3 and 4, possibly 5. The back end of that type of a timetable puts you out in jeopardy of the series. So that's really the type of timeline that you're looking at for a mild hamstring strain. I would expect Devin Booker to continue to get treatment over the rest of the weekend into early next week and hopefully have a better sense of when he can target a return.
So then they'll have to maybe dispatch with the Pelicans without Booker, and that would be, one would assume, a much more troublesome task. If Zion Williamson returns, what's the deal with him? Do you think the Pelicans, I mean, what better time to unwrap him than in front of the home folks with an opportunity to go up 2-1 on the Suns? What do you think?
Yes, Zion's been doing more and more on the court, doing controlled 5-on-5. He's been getting out there on the floor. We've seen the highlights of him dunking, but there's no expectation of him returning in this series in this playoffs. I think they want to make sure he is 100% healthy before a return. So clearly he just has not been fully cleared to resume full basketball as far as being in a game environment, playing in a game, and there's not really an expectation that will come. But it is positive that he's out there, he's doing more, but I think it is a goal of obviously the Pelicans, of that organization, to make sure when he does come back to the floor, given what's happened the last year, the foot fracture in the summer, everyone thought he'd be ready for game one of the season. He wasn't. The multiple setbacks that he's endured. They want to make sure when they bring him back, he is 100% healthy.
So I'll just put it to fine point on it here by asking this question. You can only use two adjectives. Here I am forcing a guy who writes to use. You can only use two adjectives, Shams, okay? This Zion situation, injury situation, is either cautious or weird. What is it? Cautious or weird? You can only use one of those two words to describe it.
I would probably lean toward cautious. I'm sure. Listen, but I mean, it could be both, right? Like it could be both. I think it could be weird because, you know, when you look at it, the expectation was he was going to play game one of the regular season. That did not happen. He had multiple setbacks, and he's finally out there on the floor now.
Yeah, he looks great, man. He looks great.
I think if it was up to Zion, and I think his, you know, stepdad came out and said it publicly recently, if it was up to Zion, he would be out there playing. But health and clearance and making sure that you have a consistent level of play in terms of 5-on-5 and real contact work before you get out there, making sure your conditioning is 100%, those are all factors that will determine when and where he comes back.
Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Congrats on those two scoops. You certainly got us with that Jay Wright thing. That was something else last night, man. Much appreciated.
Rich, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Right back at you. A must follow on social media. A must follow. That's Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium. Can I say something real quick?
Do it, Rich, because I'm feeling it.
Here we go.
Just do it.
So we just hung up from Shams Charania, who said that he doesn't expect Zion to play in this series for the Pelicans against the Suns or in the playoffs at all.
At all.
And here's the thing, man. I know he's got that foot injury that they thought he would get over in time for the first game of the series of the season. And here we are now in the playoffs. They made it. They made it to the play-in tournament and then made it out of the play-in tournament. Two things that the Lakers could not do. Couldn't make it in. Right? Mm-hmm. And thus, if you're not in, you're not making it out.
Nope.
And now we're hearing, despite us, and again, I know we're just sitting on the on our couches or watching our phones, and we're seeing him look like he looks, warming up, whatever, saying, put him in. And you're hearing, and you're hearing, you're saying, like his stepdad saying, like, he would do it. And leave it up to him. He would do it. It's just the latest example of I just don't get it. Maybe it should be a new segment here on the Rich Eisen Show. I just don't get it.
Oh, man.
You've got, honestly.
I could do a whole show.
You just don't get it.
You need another 3 hours.
You've got a franchise trying to pay their star quarterback nine figures, and the quarterback saying, I'm not really into it just yet.
I just don't get it.
With Lamar and the Ravens. A team is saying, we want to pay you. And the quarterback's like saying, yeah, not yet. You got an all-time great Hall of Fame pitcher with a perfect game. Only 80 pitches on the odometer. 6 outs away. And he's taken out of the game. And after the game, he's just like, yeah, this is the right thing.
I just don't get it.
And you got a franchise in New Orleans that wins the lottery with Zion. Wins it. You get him. You make the smart moves, too. You make these smart moves with the Lakers, who wanted Anthony Davis so bad. You got all that stuff from them. One of the guys is bright shining in Brandon Ingram right now. Mm-hmm. You go make the smart move with CJ McCollum, right? You get him. You're now sitting at home with the Suns banged up with Devin Booker. You have a chance to go up 2-1. And you got a guy saying, I'd like to come back, or showing that he can come back. And I know you're trying to be cautious for the long term. Long term, like, the moment's now. I don't get it.
I don't get it. What are you saving for, the Knicks? Like, what are we doing? What are you
doing? I don't get it. Like, isn't this the time? Isn't this the time right now?
You would think. Because with Booker out, like we said on our podcast yesterday, they have a very real chance of upsetting the Phoenix Suns.
Time is now.
I don't get it. It's just the latest example of like, when are teams just going to go for it? Players go for it.
Here's the problem. And failing gets people fired.
I'm going to say this. Chris Brockman's right. No, you can't say that I don't ever say
that.
Come on,
man. What do you think? You think if they put Zion out there and he gets hurt.
And he gets hurt again.
Someone's going down for
boom.
That.
Who's taking the fall for that?
Come on, man.
Not Zion.
I'm not saying I agree, but he's got a point. There's probably a chance that would happen.
Yeah, Kershaw could have gotten hurt too, right? Come on, man. I don't know. It's just one instance after another where I don't get it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Setting up for Colin Hanks and some other interesting stories out there in the news, including Jay Wright retiring. We'll hit on that when we come back. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So, make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it.
I never quite agree.
Back
with
here
that.
On the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
He's a basketball man, Chris. Just let him bask.
Stop it.
Jay Wright retiring, man.
And not going to the Lakers, apparently.
Jay Wright retiring.
I'm pretty shocked at that.
Yeah. That's because here's why I think it's shocking. One is because nobody saw it coming. And part of the reason why nobody saw it coming is we just saw Coach K step away after a season-long tour, if you will, farewell tour, and at an age that if Jay Wright kept coaching until, he would have had a shot to put himself up there in, you know, wooden territory. And obviously I don't think anybody's going to catch Coach K ever in terms of total wins, but he'd be all the way up there. And because this team, certainly in the last several years, just keeps on showing up in Final Fours and showing up and showing out in the NCAA tournament, and is a machine that also kind of stays under the radar, which is an amazing thing to say about anything that happens in the Northeast.
Just look at that part of this country, record, man. It's like 25-10, like every
520-197, winning 72.5% of his games in his 21 seasons as coach of the Villanova Wildcats after he spent successful seasons at Hofstra. And 4 Final Four appearances, 2 NCAA tournament championships, leaving only Bill Self and Iona's Rick Pitino as the active coaches, only active coaches in college basketball with multiple national championship appearances. And this is after Roy Williams left and then Coach K left and now he's left. 3 guys who are in that category have now retired. And the other surprising number about all this, that certainly makes people think, really, you're not going to go to the NBA, is 60.
Yeah.
I saw that he's 60 years old, which is...
But how old did you think he was?
I honestly thought he was younger than that.
Me too.
And I honestly also think 60 is a young age.
It is now, yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of surprising, all surprising aspects of it. He was so terrific at his job, so great at his job, and this is another stat that I found fascinating to me. His 60-30 win seasons is one more than Jim Boeheim.
Well, Jay's doing something I wish Jim had done a long time
ago. Which is leave.
Retire.
I know that's what you're saying, but I mean, Boeheim is also known as the king of the Big East, even though he's in the ACC right now.
And he's never leaving.
Izzo and Pitino also have only 5 30-win seasons. Wow. 6th most ever for Jay Wright, who's now going to hand things off to a Fordham guy. So the last Villanova coach went from Hofstra to Villanova. Kyle Neptune is, you know, a guy who was on the staff for Jay Wright as a video guy, and then 10 years, multiple years as an assistant.
37 years
and
old.
And that's the other surprising thing, too, is that the school said that they've done a search. And they've come up with this name. And so all this time,
this is under the radar.
There's a search going on.
Yeah.
Talk about so keeping things tight.
The whole tournament and everything, there was a search happening?
I don't know about through the tournament, but the tournament's only done for
2.5 weeks. It's been over. This is it.
About 3 weeks since the Final Four, yeah, right?
Great secret.
Since they were bounced.
Good job to everyone for keeping this quiet.
I know. So that's why a lot of this is so surprising. We had Colin Gillespie on the program during the tournament as they were making their run to another Final Four. I think we got him right before the Final Four, right? And I asked him, at one point, I had no idea we were talking about a coach who was thinking of retiring or had already made up his mind about retiring. I asked him about Jay Wright and what makes him so good. What makes Jay Wright so good? Give me an insight where you as a player were like, okay, this is we're in such great hands. You got an example of that you can
give me? I mean, I think player development is a reason why I chose Villanova. They develop their players really well, and everybody gets better, but I think it's more non-basketball related, just life, the lessons he teaches you about life and becoming a man, having to grow up, and you know that when you leave here, you're going to become a man, and you're going to be ready to take on whatever life throws at you. I think that's the biggest thing that I've taken away from being here at Villanova.
And what's the life lesson? Can you give me an example of that, Colin?
I mean, one thing that we talk about every day is attitude and how you respond to certain situations, whether you're on the basketball floor or not. It could be you're in foul trouble on the basketball on the court, and kind of just have to say attitude and go make the next play. And I think that's the same thing in life with life situations. You might be thrown a situation at you that you weren't expecting or that you weren't ready for, but that's life, and you kind of have to adjust and just move on and do the next right thing. So.
It's Colin Gillespie talking about his coach, Jay Wright, who Shams Charania has said in his next move is to maybe do television, and I'd love that. I think he'd be great at it, and plus, he gives us all what we've been missing the last couple years.
Say it.
Which is Jay Wright in a finely appointed tailored suit.
Oh, man.
He should do that.
Look at that. He's looking sharp right there.
I mean,
I sent you guys a video yesterday. It's
which is
one shining moment, but it's one full minute of just Jay Wright wearing suits.
And at one point, there was like you saw like a tailor doing some sort of measuring, right? Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you guys saw the video.
Well done.
Remember when Chris Jenkins hit that three-pointer in 16 for Villanova winning the national
buzzer
title?
Buzzer beater.
There is a video of Jay Wright, and it's the coldest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's 2002 Robert Horry hitting a three against the Lakers and having no like reaction. Jenkins pulls up, camera zooms in on Jay Wright, and you just see him mouth the words, bang. And the shot goes in. Everyone loses their mind. He just turns around and walks down the sideline. And you don't know if his car got hit, if he won the lottery, he won the national championship, or if nothing at all happened. He had no reaction other than bang.
And
it was amazing.
That reminded me of the Larry Bird play when Reggie Miller hit the game winner over Jordan, 98 Eastern Conference Finals. He's going nuts running around the court. Mm-hmm. Larry Bird, arms folded. Cool.
Yo, right.
I'm just... I saw that too, and it is one of the most chill moments ever.
Man, it's
and I just would love to, you know, see what makes him tick, because it's one of those things too that winning sometimes is a relief. And I might be wrongly applying it. I might be way off base, but sometimes winning is a relief. That you did it, that the pressure that is upon you to complete the journey when it's right there in front of you, that even a game-winning three that you either dialed up or knew your player could hit, and you're saying it's in, boom, as the ball's in the air, that that's a moment of relief, not of pure unadulterated joy, or that's just the way that he is.
He's
celebrates.
Like
I mean,
that, yeah.
That's it.
It seemed
I don't know.
Like he designed the play and he saw this kid make this shot a bunch of times, and he had no doubt in his mind.
You know, we sit here on shows like this one and watch from our couches, and we have no, and we see these the numbers that he put up, the records that he helped coach teams to, and we just don't know what it takes to do it. And how much you put into it and how much energy you put into it. And after a while, you're just like, screw it. I want to tee it up. I want to take I want to go on those trips that my wife and I have been talking about for a very long time. You know, I want to I don't know. Does he have grandkids? You know, I just don't know. You know, a grandchild is born. And you can't be there because you got that one game against fill in the blank.
A recruiting trip.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. It's just like, screw it. I can get off this hamster wheel. I'm already in the Naismith. You know, I'm in the hoops hall, right? Mm-hmm. And he will go down as one of the all-time greats.
Put some good players in the NBA,
he
too.
He sure did. As a matter of fact, he has put in eight players into the NBA draft in the last 6 years, which is fourth best in college basketball. So... congrats to him. May he hit him straight and mic it up. And then, of course, there's everybody around here who thinks Jeannie Buss should just unload the vault.
Like 15, what?
I don't know.
How much per year or something like that?
I don't know. Just make sure you sell out the forum every night.
Right. Come up with cool ideas.
Yeah. Make it a cool place to go.
Make it a show.
Show him Lincoln Riley's crib down the street. That's in Rancho it. Palos Verde.
Make sure Jay
Wright. McVay's new house.
Make sure Jay Wright doesn't hop on his bicycle.
Nope, no bikes. Right? At least a helmet. If you're
definitely, you got to have a helmet.
Got to have a helmet.
Yeah. That's what I'm just saying.
No shady Vegas guys.
How many? Honestly. No. And you're going to be hearing this a lot in this town. You'll be hearing this a lot in this town. We assumed it. We're part of it. Yeah. We assumed it. You sent that text out. Jay Wright retired and then wrote Lakers.
Lakers.
I tweeted that the second I saw it.
Right, Lakers.
What other conclusion could you jump to?
But what I'm saying is, why would he leave 21 incredible years of Villanova? Why would he leave a spot where he could coach for as long as he wants to and have everything that's there for him to win? In the manner in which he has helped Villanova fans and students become accustomed. Why would he do that to come out to Los Angeles and coach the Lakers? At some point, this whole brand of the Los Angeles Lakers is not the draw that you think it is. And the Knicks have been dealing with that for quite some time. Unless you show these guys the money.
Show me the money.
Now that's maybe what they can do.
I mean, 300 days of sunshine helps.
Dude, they've got it.
Yeah, let me tell you.
They've got it.
I ain't going back.
They've got it. Yeah, just take a look at Lincoln Riley's new digs. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Sean McVay.
Rich,
how many bathrooms?
What's the split on that? I got to check the Sean McVay number.
My mom sent me a picture from our front porch in Altoona on Monday. Monday, the day after Easter.
Yes.
There was maybe 6 inches of snow. Okay? I text her back. I'm like, no thanks. Never again.
I know, right?
Like, no, man, come out to California.
So what's the weather? What's the weather on the coast in Philadelphia? What was that like?
Well, I mean, Rich,
it's 60 in Philly today.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Because I'm assuming that's where Jay Wright lives. He doesn't live more inland where Altoona is, right?
It's still the coast. Yeah, no thanks.
Very good.
Too much snow.
All right. The general manager of the Tennessee Titans has spoken about A.J. Brown's contract. Oh, boy, man. We got lots to talk about here on the show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Back with that. And then Colin Hanks in Hour 3.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen. Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Hit me up.
Back here on our terrestrial radio network, one big happy family here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue SD drivers, only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. I'll just put it in plain English for you. It's better for me because I can miss the ball and it still goes far.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And that's just it.
Why don't you just say that to start with?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to.
There's buzzwords.
You know, Callaway would like me to talk about the technology that makes this line of drivers so great and great off the tee.
But that just made more sense to me.
Well, you know what?
I love Callaway.
It's right. Their golf balls, their irons, and these drivers, the Rogue ST drivers. There's one for you, whether you're a low handicapper or a mid to single digit handicapper. The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact low spin head that the tour players love. Look, Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue. 33 years ago today, Field of Dreams in a theater near you for the first time. Wow. Our poll question, Christopher, let's check on it. We do this every now and then. And it's always a tight race if we
the
include
baseball
these
movie
four films.
One is always close. Thanks to everyone for chiming in and voting. Best baseball movie: Field of Dreams, Major League, Bull Durham, Sandlot. Bull Durham 16%, Field of Dreams 21%, 29% in the second hole, The Sandlot, Major League 34%.
I like it. What would each one of these movies be like if analytics were applied?
In what way?
In terms of...
For instance, Bull Durham. I'll give you for instance.
Okay.
Crash Davis makes the pros because they saw his exit velocity on a couple of his at-bats, and he goes to the show.
So he wouldn't have been a 12-year minor leaguer, probably?
He would not, because they were not... Right. They were discounting exit velocity on home runs.
So maybe he only hit 240, but that's totally fine.
Doesn't matter. Look at Joey Gallo.
Yeah, Joey Gallo's a mess, Rich.
Look at Joey Gallo. His exit velocity is fantastic. He's not even hitting 200, but he's in the show. Why can't Crash? So Crash Davis, discover his exit velocity is so good, and he doesn't spend that much time. And Annie,
never meets Annie. His one true love.
Right, there's that one. Or he leaves sooner. He beats Nuke Lelouch to the show.
Oh, he finally makes it in year 12 because the analytics have changed in
Correct.
The late 80s.
Right. That's what I'm saying. For instance, there's that one. Major League. What do we got for Major League? How does analytics apply there? What do you think?
Well, no one really cares about stolen bases anymore. So that whole subplot
of
Willie Mays Hayes like tacking the gloves to his wall, like that's not
Willie
a thing.
Willie Mays Hayes is out because nobody steals bases anymore. Speed is not of importance.
Yeah. That makes Eddie no Harris sense doesn't pitch deep into games. I mean, he's only pitching like 3 innings.
That's it.
But there's still a place for Wild Thing, obviously. Throws high velocity,
spin rate.
High 90s.
Wild Thing's spin rate.
Wondering what his spin rate is.
Wild Thing's spin rate means he pitches 2 innings a night.
Right, he's probably pitching.
Well, no, makes him the opener. Thing is now the opener.
In Tampa. The movie takes place in Tampa now.
Okay. Yes, he's the opener. Right, for the Tampa Bay Rays, where the owner still wants to have move him.
So
right?
One, maybe 2 innings for Wild Thing, but in the beginning of the game.
And people start screaming Wild Thing to start the game.
You make my heart sing.
Okay.
How about Eddie Harris? He's getting checked coming off the mound. so he can't put the Crisco on him.
He's getting
checked.
You
know, remember he had Crisco and suntan lotion
and
everything on him
and all that stuff. Okay.
And now he's in trouble.
The Sandlot. What? The Sandlot.
Well, the Sandlot again.
Shift is the shift. Does Shift get them?
I was thinking more like the Jet never makes the show because again the devaluation of the stolen base. No speed guys in today's
game. I understand that. I think. No, look at that. That's a great movie poster, The Sandlot, right there.
Wait, where's Rich? Oh, there he is.
Del Tufo as the Hambino totally works.
Rich is squints, though.
I didn't see him at first.
That's what happens when Metrics meets The Sandlot. Okay? That's what will happen. We don't know what the metrics are, but it looks like that. And then what's the other movie?
Field of Dreams.
Oh, Field of Dreams.
Still the perfect movie.
No, we know what it is. If you shift it, they will come. Right? If you shift it, they will come. They're not coming until you take a third baseman. Buck Weaver is going in right center field. A little eight men out fill for you right there.
Okay.
And then the guys come out of the corn and go, what the hell game is this? It's certainly not baseball. Right?
Pretty good.
Oh, I know what the Sandlot is. One of the kids gets suspended from school because he's using spider tech.
Nice.
What do you think?
I like it.
Right?
How does Wendy Peppercorn fit in all of this?
I don't know.
Okay.
Our favorite baseball movies ruined by analytics.
Yeah, they all got sad.
The Natural. How does The Natural get ruined by analytics? What do we got here?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, first of all, Roy Hobbs is too old.
Yeah,
he's never going to get a call.
Oh, that's right. He's never getting a call.
He's never getting a call.
That's right.
He's too old.
That's right. He's way past his arbitration eligible years. Right.
Right.
Is that what it is? Right.
Recovering from a bullet wound, so you know, medical. There could be still lead in his belly or in his side, or the bullet might even be in there.
I got it. Wonder Boy is corked.
That's pretty good.
By the way, what are you writing that down for?
Wonder Boy is corked.
That's not a fantasy team name.
Corked Wonder Boy.
Yeah, you flip
is
it.
A great you fantasy
a little,
team
Lil
name.
Wayne and you flip the words.
Corked Wonder Boy is a great fantasy team name.
Bob Yesiree.
What's League of Their Own? How does League of Their Own get on?
I was just going to say, Betty Spaghetti has a low on base percentage.
Betty Spaghetti's war.
It's just
is
terrible.
Absolutely unacceptable.
Negative war. Negative
unacceptable
war,
so war for Betty Spaghetti. Right? She's out.
See ya, Betty.
It's odd that it's war that
right,
keeps her out because it's
during
the war.
Different war.
One is
all
what
caps.
Is it good for?
All caps war.
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
By the way, I watched The League of Their Own. I think I told you, Chris, over Christmas with my uncle.
It's amazing.
I hadn't watched that movie in like five years.
It's fantastic.
So good.
It was so good. It was just as good as I always remembered. I'm sorry it took me that long to get back to it, but the movie's amazing.
So good.
Have we destroyed all of our baseball movies?
I know.
Somebody, we left one
by
out?
The way, someone tweeted to us, memo to Rich, analytics are here. Get over it.
Oh, get off my lawn.
Get over it.
Hey, Rich, speaking of the baseball, right, you were saying how you had one way of like kind of talking to Coop, and then Susie had a different way of talking to Coop. So immediately after that, I got a text from your wife.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if Hoskins has this or not. Okay, and basically her text was, and I'll read it properly, Boston with the greater than sign, Staten Island. Yeah. So she just...
No, I get it.
That was just her text.
I get it. I'm used to that.
Which to which Brockman agreed, and then he said some stuff about Staten Island, which I can't repeat on Peacock.
He said something about Staten Island?
I'll share with you after the commercial,
I mean, why you got to throw me under the... Like, what kind of teammate are you?
Terrible teammate.
I'll just wait till you're out of the room anyway.
You're a terrible
teammate.
Wait,
terrible
what
teammate.
What are you doing?
It's part of the story.
Boy, this segment took a nasty spin right...
Jeez.
Right there.
The
spin right on this segment just changed.
This segment's basically Garrett Cole.
High and tight. High and tight.
Garrett Cole stinks. When are you going to admit that?
Oh, boy. Don't get him started, Chris.
Oh, we forgot one other thing, too.
Way to deflect.
No, we forgot. Nuke Lelouch gets taken out because it's his second time through the order.
Third time through the order.
Third time. I'm just analytics. Just out of hand. I went second time through the order.
Those complete games, see ya.
See you later. It's not complete. Well, that was for love of the game.
Well, for the love of the game, oh my God,
he never makes it because he's out.
He's pulled.
You've reached 80 pitches.
Fifth inning.
Dave Roberts is managing.
That's it. Vin's at the mic.
Fifth inning and he's out.
Out. That's for love of the game.
That is for love.
Analytics.
All of our favorite movies ruined.
Ruined by baseball's analytics by four outfielders. What are you doing? Cut it out. We're so close, guys. We're so close. We got the universal DH. Mm-hmm. The warm-up jackets on the pitchers as they run the bases. Honestly, I never understood that. I never understood that. Even as a kid.
You know what that was?
It was whatever, I don't know, was a Major League Baseball team ever managed at any point in time, you can look it up, by a Jewish mother?
Because, the jacket, you mean?
Yes. I'm just wondering.
You're going to catch
a
cold.
Did a Jewish mother ever run a baseball team? Because pitchers putting on warm-up jackets just to stay warm running the bases, you could catch cold.
I got to say, when I was in high school, and
honestly,
on the days I was pitching and I was fortunate enough to reach base, that was my favorite part. I got to wear the jacket. I got to wear the jacket.
I know when quarterbacks have to wear red to avoid contact in practice. You can get hurt.
True.
But why does a pitcher need to?
Because they were rich.
You just made first base put a jacket on.
But it happens in football, too.
But everyone else has got to stay warm. You don't want to get cold. Why does a pitcher...
Yeah. It's arm. He's constantly throwing. Look,
you know
sometimes
what?
The ball might never get to the right fielder.
You just made first base.
Here's your prize.
You know what you need?
A coat.
What do I need? The
what
steel sign?
Do you
what
need? Do I need? Oh, I thought we were doing.
No. What do you know what you need? What do I need?
What's the sign?
The signal? A bunt signal? Or what?
Am I a hit and run signal?
No, you need a coat. You need a jacket. You could catch cold.
And some matzo ball soup.
That's right. Yeah. They should have given pitchers a thermos with matzo ball soup in it. Jewish penicillin in a jacket.
Solves everything.
It does. God, that's gone.
You guys ever watch the Goldbergs?
Was that like a 38 special song?
Jewish penicillin in a jacket?
Yeah. Kansas?
Seriously.
There was a Goldbergs episode where Beverly was watching a football game, and it was everything running through her mind like,
Jewish mother.
Who does the laundry? Why does the throwy guy have to put his hand in the other guy's butt? Like, she had
I took my mom to a Michigan game. The first time she went, there was a roughing the kicker penalty. She said, what's that? I'm like, you can't touch the kicker. She said, oh, I don't let you play football if you kicked.